Make a motion, we'll send a flyer.
Salary.
I'm not as good as you are.
All right, we are reconvening the hearing, and just for the record, we've been talking up here, we have not been talking about this hearing or this proposal. We're not allowed to do that in a public meeting. Everything that we say regarding this hearing has to be said in public. And what we were talking about up here was unrelated to this hearing. We were just jabbering. So I just want to set that for the record. All right, I will now entertain a motion to approve this comprehensive plan.
Madam Chairperson, I would like to make a motion. I would move to approve this request to amend the comprehensive plan map of Josephine County from forest to residential, and to amend the zoning map of Josephine County from woodlot resource to RR5 for the property described in the map 35-06-11, tax lot 1600. Based on the application meeting all of the applicable goals, policies, and criteria of the comprehensive plan and the rural zoning ordinance, as well as those issues identified in the staff report presented.
Thank you. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Motion moved and seconded. I will now repeat the motion.
You can't read it, right?
I have to actually repeat it. Okay. The motion is to approve the request to amend the comprehensive plan map of Josephine County from forest to residential, and to amend the zoning map of Josephine County from woodlot resource to RR5 for map 35-06-11, tax lot 1600, based on the application meeting all of the applicable goals, policies, and criteria of the comp plan and the rural zoning ordinance, as well as those identified in the staff's report.
Thank you.
Great. At this point, the motion has been made and seconded. We can have discussion on the motion. Does anyone have anything left to say?
Question still about, so being able to see so many good features of this proposal, do I understand from what you said that there clearly are more opportunities to be part of the process, for example, to take that step to preserve the open space, the rural character, that sort of thing?
Once the comprehensive plan and zoning has been changed, if the applicant decides to pursue development of the property, then they will have to make a separate application to do that, and that will come back to the planning commission for approval, and at that point they will have to meet all kinds of criteria as well.
Thank you.
Any further discussion?
I thought it was, we said in the motion to approve the zoning change, I thought all we could do was recommend to the county commissioners the change. Can we actually approve it, or do we simply recommend approval?
You're making a recommendation of approval. That's what you're
doing. Would you like to amend the motion so that it's a
record? Yes, I would like to amend the motion if all parties agree to say that we recommend approval.
It's agreeable to me, certainly.
Yes, it's agreeable to me also.
Do I need to reread the amended motion?
No.
All right. Mm-hmm. So the motion stands as amended. Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Commissioner Church?
Aye, in favor.
Commissioner Brumbaugh?
In favor.
Commissioner Goodwin?
In favor.
Commissioner Richardson?
No.
Commissioner Gardner?
All right, the motion passes 5-1.
4-1.
And 4-1, I'm sorry. I can't. All right, so the motion passes 4-1, and the result is that the Planning Commission recommends to the Board of County Commissioners to
matters from the planning commission? Do any planning commissioners have any matters to discuss? Commissioner Gardner?
Thank you. I want to say thanks to the office staff for mailing my packet. I really appreciate not having to sign it again. And if we could make that a regular.
Excuse me, please conduct any conversations outside because we're still have more items on the agenda.
Thank you. So I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate that becoming a standard practice.
Thank you. Any further matters from commissioners? All right.
Oh, I got one.
Oh, yeah. Commissioner Church.
Yes, I was intrigued by Mrs. Richardson's comments during the discussion of the motion about how we get from a density issue, which has to do with the city's, the development area around
urban
the city.
Urban growth boundary, I'm sorry,
couldn't think of that. And I don't know, I mean, that might be something that we want to bring up sometime. I mean, we obviously live in a county and we have a development ordinance and we allow people to try to do their highest and best use of their private property. And I think, you know, the Constitution probably guarantees us some sort of that, but it can become a jumble, like you say. And I don't know whether that's going to be discussed or not ever, but it intrigues me because I do find the same way that you do, that we have a lot of stuff going on out in this county, and it's a problem.
It's my curse, of course, to have served on both planning commissions.
Yeah.
And the thing that creates the problem if you're in a city and you have an urban growth boundary that is all 2.5 to 5 acre tracts, you have a hard time finding, for lack of a better term, virgin properties that businesses can use that brings in the necessary jobs and revenues because they need 5 to 20 acre tracts. And we look, and the Merlin Industrial Park that's up there towards Monument Drive and some of those other areas are the only large parcels. And we need to preserve some of those large parcels for the kinds of industry that we would like to have that brings the jobs, that keeps our children here.
The tough question is, how do you get there in the interim? I don't know.
That's
anyway,
right.
I just wanted to acknowledge that your question intrigued me.
Usually the thing is, it's easier to develop in those 4 and 5 acre and 3 acre tracts. You don't have to wait for the business that comes along and says, I want your property. And time is not necessarily a friend.
Commissioner Gardner.
Thank you. I want to also to echo my appreciation for Commissioner Richardson's comments. I think I was surprised, but as I'm reading through these documents, like the goals, the county goals, very interesting. And I learned from James Black today that our goals document was written, last amended in 2005. And I wanted to ask, what sort of a process is it for a planning commission, for our planning commission, to revisit some of those goals? And I'm specifically noting that the, you have it here, but can I put my hand on it? Oh, you know that problem. In case of the goal 2, is it? It specifically says that the primary purpose of Josephine County is timber harvest, basically. But that was written in the 1980s. And it's just not that relevant anymore. There's only one mill left, according to the document before me. So I just wondered, how is that terribly involved? Or is it something that we should be looking at as a rural planning commission to update that? I'd be interested in your views.
Well, we can certainly set aside some time at a future planning commission meeting that we can talk about it. It would be interesting to receive some individual commentary from commissioners if there are parts of the goals that you find problematic or out of date, so that we could kind of guide a discussion and get into that. Recognize too, though, that we operate under the framework of the state goals and guidelines, and we have to be consistent with those. But we acknowledge that periodic updating of goals and of policies and of the code itself is a good thing. And in some cases, we're somewhat behind the times in making that happen. On the code side of it, I think we've talked about at previous meetings that, you know, our last published code document does have a May 2005 date on it, and there were a number of ordinances that have been adopted since then. That so there's a companion document to the Rural Land Development Code that's all of the ordinances. James has them right here, so that when the staff is looking at applications and when the commission is looking at the applications, we have to be aware that we're dealing with a document that may contradict or supersede something that's in the published code. And I think I've mentioned before, the county is going through a process of codification of all county codes, and as a part of that process, the Rural Land Development Code and any ordinances passed since the publication of that code will be integrated into that codification, and that will then be a good starting point for us when we go back and look at the recommendations that were made through the Land Development Advisory Committee and other things. And so we've got quite a task ahead of us over the coming year or two or three, whatever it is, in looking at the micro level of the code stuff and also the macro level, which is the goals and the policies kind of stuff that guides what should be going on at the micro level there. So,
question. So would that be something that you or planning department were going to do anyway, or would it take a request from the planning commission to review, for example, to come together to look at goals?
Well, we could certainly be prodded in that direction, and it's time is a precious commodity, and oftentimes what we're dealing with the planning commission, we're giving you applications that you have to deal with, and we haven't provided you with some of that opportunity to think more broadly, like Jocelyn is talking about here, and deal with goals and policies. And we'll make an effort to try to, you know, set up that kind of an opportunity for that more policy or general type of discussion.
For example, today's applicant, I had to go through this very arduous process to do something that seems reasonable on the ground, but I mean, 10 minutes of looking at the aerial photo and the soils, and I can tell you that this is not farm or forest capable land, but they had to spend all that money going over those codes, because that's what it says, when I think we missed the boat that some of those hill slopes are headwaters for the streams that feed the road where the salmon spawn, right? So the importance of those types of landscapes for water production, the water production capacity of our landscapes is not in the code, just because water was always there and it was always free. And as we're seeing this in-migration of population, which is not slowed down in China, in case anybody hasn't looked, we need to start thinking more about how development impacts water resources. That's where the money is. And so I would love to see an opportunity for us to say, and the trees are connected to where the water is. I'd love to see that conversation happen. So thank you for
Commissioner
Richardson. Dennis, if there's another thing too that I'm curious about, and that is a year ago we built a second two-car garage. And our builder was very good. He got the necessary permits and paid necessary fees and did what was required. But when I asked various friends if they had done it, the answer was no. They had other buildings built in the county, and they had just worked out a deal and hired a carpenter or a crew and had this done. And it strikes me, as much as I hate revenue enhancement opportunities, that we have a codes enforcement concern, not an issue, but there are probably any number of buildings that are not built to code, and people don't find it until they go to sell their house or they go to buy a house and find that they have an unpermitted addition. And that just happens to be a concern for me.
It's a valid concern.
Do we have any other matters? All right, seeing none, the next item on the agenda is comments from the public. Do we have any comments from the public? All right, the planning director.
I'll take a short one.
We have a comment.
Bob Hart, I appreciate your observation of the technical things that had to be done to prove what we wanted. Where on just on its pure face, it was a simple decision. But that's the kind of things that are put into the code that leads to the problems that you have, that people get so tired of the hard things that need to be done that they ignore the codes and do it without permits because it's too hard to get them. We tried to go through with the LDAC to look at trying to simplify some of the things, and a lot of that just got kind of shoved to the side and it never got fixed. So I would think if you're going to look at code enforcement, you need to look at your code first to see if it's a reasonable and rational code of trying to make it absolutely fit what the community is willing to work with.
And is it enforceable?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harrell. Mr. Hare?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Simon Hare, Josephine County, live in Grants Pass, actually. Members of the commission, Mr. Chair, really appreciate you guys dedicating a couple hours of your Monday evening to this and probably the homework, which was obviously done. You guys did your diligence, and I really appreciate that. It makes the Board of County Commissioners' job a lot easier when people do the necessary processes that lead up to the hearing that we'll hear, obviously. I could talk for a good half hour on the stuff that you guys were discussing earlier. I'll mention a couple of things. The Planning Commission is supposed to have a workshop this fall to address some of the issues and concerns that you have about the direction and things that you guys would like to accomplish that are somewhat extracurricular, other than the activities that we put before you as applications. The other one is to address Ms. Richardson's issues with the density element. I think that goes to the heart of what the original pilot project, Executive Order 1207, is outlined to try to accomplish with developing designations of zones within a certain circumference, maybe a mile, and then secret outsource from either cities or unincorporated areas of density. And I think that makes a lot of sense from an infrastructure standpoint and a whole host of different issues. But the criteria in the code is also set there to provide for opportunities for applicants that may fit within that, that don't exactly, it may not be right next to Merlin or Grants Pass. I think UGBs are really important, and that's probably why the last one took us 5+ years, why I was dedicated to that process from the first day. Asking that our code be updated was another goal of mine, day one, and we will get that done as soon as possible. The reason you guys don't get to do all of the other fun stuff that you'd like to is because of the limited resources at the county level and the limited staff that it takes to be able to do those kinds of things. So we pay that price for not having the resources, because there is a state process that we would have to go through. I think the low-hanging fruit was outlined in LDAC recommendations, those four elements. I think we also need to step back and take another look at things to address things, water concerns and others that are very, very important. I will correct Ms. Gardner saying that the urban growth boundary did determine over the span of when we first did studies to when we actually adopted the urban growth boundary, that the population growth standard, the numerical populator did decrease over that amount of time. So it's not just steadily increasing. It is increasing, but at a decreasing rate.
Oh.
It was 1.9 when we first started that process. It was 1.2 when we adopted.
The rate of increase.
The rate of increase.
Slowing.
Slow.
Yeah. But we're still experiencing the highest population our county has ever historically had.
I don't think that's
according,
true.
Oh, I just found that on it's some state statistics.
It would be Portland State University does our population forecast model.
PSU study.
They do that now, state statute for the entire state.
That's right.
And I don't know that that's necessarily what I remember, but if you remember different, that's fine.
I came across that last year. And
yeah. Anyway, those are the things that
thank
I
you.
Wanted to bring to your attention. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Any further comments from the public? Then our next item on the agenda
Okay, be brief here. I think we just had a report at our aborted public hearing on the Monument Drive application here. Former Commissioner Harold Haugen asked the direct question, when will you restore the office hours to the planning department? We did that last week. We're back to 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, 8 to noon. In addition, with the addition of a staff person here, we're doing something a little bit differently. We now have a lead planner on as primary, and there is always a backup person. So at times, when things are getting busy, there are two people working to handle the public coming in, and that's something that we've really not done before. So I hope that the public will start seeing a little bit better, quicker service in our counter work there. So we're also working at, I may have mentioned at the last meeting there, we've got a computer set up in the lobby there so that we're trying to give the public access to all of the county system. We've still got a couple of software issues to resolve there, but we think that'll be a nice enhancement for the using public. So that's about all. Reminder that that aborted meeting takes place next Monday night. So you'll have 2 weeks in a row here that you're coming back for public hearings.
Do we have any more information coming to us other than what was emailed?
We haven't had anything additionally submitted by the applicant. So.
Thank you very much. Before we leave, please return your binders to Melissa so they can be reused in the future, thus saving the county money. All right. I move to adjourn. And we are adjourned.
Yes, to me.
Okay, great.
Here you go. Here's my
Thank
stuff.
Thank you.
Now, we will be getting back our books for the hearing on the 28th. Did we hear
those?
You
already kept those.
I kept them. Okay, they got to be at home. I haven't lost them.
If you can't find them, please let me know.
I promise them. Okay.
Well, if you notice the history of the zoning.